It's kind of a crazy time, huh, that we live. But this isn't surprising to the Lord. And these things, as we read through Scripture, war happens quite often. And so, anyway, we just want to keep praying for the people, the Ukrainians and the Russians, everybody, that the Lord would have his hand in it. So to kind of change gears a little bit, I want to say that we are talking in this series about lessons from Moses' life, things that he gleaned as he walked through and navigated his life, leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And a couple of weeks ago, I shared about how Moses was talking with the Lord. And God reminded him that he is El Shaddai, Almighty. And in that, God was reminding Moses that all things are possible through him. And then as we continued last week, Jachin, like Mark said, shared this amazing message on being victorious, living a victorious life. And just as a side note to that, I want to just share and say with the deepest sincerity, just a thank you to everybody that that gave this last week. It was a very humbling moment. And as you saw, for those of you that were here, both Jill and I were speechless as to just the gift that was poured out by y'all. And so we were humbled a lot by what was given. And you guys, it was just such a amazing blessing. So thank you for that. But when Jachin was sharing, there was just so much encouragement that even in the midst of the struggle, even in the midst of the frustration, the living as a victim, he was sharing and saying, we no longer need to live like victims. We can be victorious. And so today I want to continue this just a little bit farther, because we can say things like, I know that God's mighty, and I know that I'm supposed to live a victorious life, and I'm supposed to do this or that or the other thing, but I don't know. And we start to just kind of throw excuses out there, and I want to have a conversation to you today about that we need to get rid of the excuses. We need to let them go. I really believe that there is something powerful in removing the excuses from our lives. And this is something that I think we all can work on in real time right now, of dealing with the removal of excuses. But I'm kind of nervous about this, because I think some of y'all today will find an excuse not to apply this teaching today. You'll find an excuse about saying, well, I'm not going to throw in excuses. But here it is. I want you to think about this as we get to it, because with God, as he is challenging Moses, as he is challenging us, he is calling us to do something different than we already are doing. And so when he's calling us to do this stuff, chances are pretty good that we may start to just give a reason why we really don't want to do what God is calling us to do. But we're asked to do something different. For some of us today, it might be that God is maybe, you may be wanting to lose weight. Maybe you're wanting to quit smoking. Maybe you're wanting to read the Bible in a year. Maybe it's that you're wanting to start a ministry or get involved with a ministry. Maybe it's you're wanting to start learning an instrument. Something is moving in your life. There is a motivator. There is something that's saying, I want to do something different. But as soon as we start to think about what it is that we want to do different, and maybe one of those things is that God is wooing us to do something different, as soon as we decide to do something different, Satan will give us excuses to stay the same. And say, you don't need to worry about that. Keep eating your ding-dongs. Amen. No. Throw those things out, those hockey pucks, man. God may be calling you to step into a new thing, but the justifications and the excuses to stay the same are causing you, listen to this, causing you to miss so much. John 10:10, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We share this. We believe that we know that the enemy comes to separate us, to steal from us, and destroy us. And these dreams, these callings, these things that God has put into our lives, the enemy will tell us, challenge us, try to get us to not do it. But God comes to do what? Bring life to the fullest. I love this in Luke 14:16-8. It says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet. Jesus is telling the story and says, and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. There is a banquet. There is a full life. There is something that the Lord is calling you to do, to be different, to go to a next level in something, but we are finding that we'll make excuses as to why we won't want to do it. In this story that Jesus is talking about, one guy bought a field and he needed to plow it. He needed to go see it. Another guy bought 5 yoke of oxen and he needed to try them out, which is kind of weird. I would think that you want to try before you buy, but he's making excuses. And another guy got married and he couldn't make it. Well, maybe some of the excuses that you have found yourself saying is that you're not good enough, right? Or that, you know, I can always do it later. Or maybe I've tried it before and it didn't work. Or if I do this, it's just going to add way too much stress. Oh man, I really like my weekends. Or someone else is better. There's a lot that we will say and bring up these excuses. In fact, what's interesting to me is come around January 1st, we make these New Year's resolutions, right? We start to say, this year, I'm going to get in shape. This year, I'm going to do whatever. By the end of January, listen to this, 40% will stop doing what they intended to do as a resolution. Now, today is February 27th, and by the end of February, 75% will have stopped doing what they resolved to do. I'm sharing this with you to hold you accountable, to say, don't stop. Keep going. Keep being motivated and doing what you resolved to do. But here's the thing. When they're good intentions, they're really things like self-intentions, right? They're me-centered. But when we are called and we hear some things by the Lord, those are God intentions. And that's when God is involved. That's when God has a different set of motivators to keep you going with what he has called you to do. This morning, if you have your notes, if you're taking notes, or if you have the app, I want you to answer a question. And this question is, what does God want to be different about my life? What does God want to be different about your life? If you're writing notes today, you write that down and then just write that down. What is it that God wants you to do to be different? What is it that he has placed on your heart to do? Now, this is not something that should take you a long time to do. I'm imagining that there has been something that has been stirring in your heart for quite a while to get engaged with, to be involved in, whatever it is, what is God saying for you to do? And then the second question is, why does God want this part of your life to be different? What is it and why does he want this part of your life to be different? There's a power in connecting the why with the what when it comes to the things of the Lord. For example, if you're wanting to like read through the Bible, or pray with your spouse, or go to a life group, one of these things, the spiritual motivator, the why, could be that the Lord wants you to grow in your spiritual life and to dig deeper into that. Maybe if you're what does God want you to be different is to get out of debt or to finally stay consistent in the budget that you've made or to tithe. a full 10% of your income to the local storehouse. The why from the Lord might be to honor God with your stewardship of your finances. Now, how about this? Eating right, losing weight, exercising, or quitting smoking. Simply, the why could be that we are to take care of this temple that God has created, and that we are to honor him with our bodies. Why? So that we can continue to worship. We continue for a long life of serving and acknowledging him and giving him glory and being the light that he has called us to be. Do you see the what with the why? If God wants something to happen in your life, there's really no excuse that can keep it from happening. I want to take a look at Moses today and see how we can learn from his life lesson. All right? Moses, in Exodus chapter 4, you can turn there in your Bibles. I want to just give you a little bit of a context as to what or why he is about to say what he's about to say. So at the beginning of chapter 4, and even in chapter 3, where we talked about a couple of weeks ago, God is saying, go. I'm going to take care of you. I got everything set up. You just need to follow me, and I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to give you what to say, and you just need to do it. And then in chapter 4, he's like, okay, well, I don't know about all of this stuff. And he's like, look, I'll show you some things that will really demonstrate my power. He goes, throw the staff that you have down. He throws it down. It turns into a snake. He picks it up. God says, pick it up by the tail. He picks it up by the tail. Boom, it's back to a staff. He goes, Moses, stick your hand in your shirt. So he sticks his hand in his shirt. Now pull it out. And it's leprous. It's got a skin disease on it. And he goes, okay, now put it back in your shirt. Now pull it out. And it's clean. And then he goes, if those two don't work, Moses, go get some water from the Nile and then pour it out and it will be like blood. Do that. Well, Moses then says in verse 10, I want to read this to you. Moses says to the Lord, after Moses has seen all of these things, oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech. He's starting to throw excuses at God again. I can't do it. I'm just a poor ranch boy. I'm just a country boy. Thank God I'm a country boy. But he's out there, and he's like, I can't say this stuff. You don't want me. And then he goes later on and he says, just get somebody else to do it. How many of us at one time or another have felt a call, something that the Lord has placed on our hearts, and we have brought forward an excuse that says, I just can't do it. I just don't have the skills. I just don't have the ability. I'm not the one that is supposed to do this. I can't do it. And the thing is that Moses was focused on his lack of power rather than God's unlimited power. Again, God had already shared with him, I am Almighty. I am El Shaddai. That is who I revealed myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was El Shaddai. And now I'm telling you, I'm Yahweh. I'm even bigger than Almighty. And you're still doing this? I love this, because where Moses was at was he seeing his human inability, and nothing was getting past that vision in his life. Even in the midst of all of this stuff that God just revealed to him through the leprosy, that's why I'm doing this. I'm not trying to rap. He's sticking his hand in his shirt, he's pulling it out. He's seeing the snake, all of these, the staff turn into a snake, and the water turn to blood, all of this stuff, and yet he is still, in his mind's eye, going, humanly speaking, God, which I am, as Moses says, I cannot do this. I just stutter. If you put me in a room with a bunch of intellectuals, I'm going to fall short and I'm going to look like a fool. You don't want me to be your guy. But God's ability, right? Nothing is impossible. And again, so loving, so full of grace and mercy is God's response, and yet so full of authority, he says this in verse 11. Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? I mean, just, he says this in the most simplest of terms to Moses. Look, you may say that you can't talk, but who made language? Who made the voice? Who made the mouth to speak, the tongue to move? Who did all of that? God did. He's going, you don't think I've got this taken care of, Moses? In Jeremiah 32:26, God said to Jeremiah, is anything too hard for me? You may be in a place today where you have been praying for patience. God, I just am so impatient. And you feel that there is a calling for more patience in your life. God gives you the ability to be patient. God, I really am having a hard time submitting to my boss. I just don't know. I need your strength. And he goes, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Lord, I know you're calling me to be a positive person. I know that you are asking of me to be different than my negative self, than always focusing on the negative. Help me in this. Guess what? Nothing is impossible with the Lord. Nothing is impossible. And what does God continue to say in Exodus 4:12? He says, now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. I'm not going to leave you hanging, Moses. I'm going to help you speak, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to teach you what to say. There's a few things that I want to look at, a couple of different things here that we can apply with this morning from this last verse, verse 12 in chapter 4. The first thing is that as we are walking this out, this new calling to be different, what we need to do is that we need to do what we can do. We need to do what we can do. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, he says, now go, right? Don't stay here, but go. Make a move. Do something. Stop making excuses and do what I've told you to do. Don't just stay here. You've got to go. Moses, he went back. He went back to Egypt. He did what he could do. He started to move back over to Egypt. So what does that mean for you and for me? Well, I talked about ding-dongs earlier, right? Well, if you're feeling like you're supposed to be different and you are supposed to eat better, well, throw away the box of ding-dongs. Don't leave it in your closet, in your pantry, staring at that thing, just drooling over the fake chocolate and frosting that will last forever. If it's to stop smoking, well, don't just leave that last pack of cigarettes on the counter or in your car or in your back pocket, wherever it is. Get rid of all of the cigarettes. If you have prayed, God, help me to get rid of this, he'll say, I'll do my part. You do yours. Throw away the box. And don't go into the gas station and look at the cigarettes on the back wall. Pay at the pump. You do what you can do. If God is calling you to serve, make a beeline after church today to the Connect Corner. Or talk to one of the worship team. If you're feeling like you need to play or to sing, talk to one of the worship leaders here. If it's to serve with our Roots ministry, our young people, or discipling our teenagers, then I want to invite you to talk to Sarah or to go to the Connect Corner again. If it's with Sprouts, if it's to make coffee or to smile at people as they're walking in the building, if God is calling you to serve, if God is asking you to do something different, do what you can do. I really felt at one time in my life that the Lord was saying, Mark, you need to be spending more time with me. And you might be thinking, gosh, isn't that like your job? It's like all day spending time. But the Lord was saying, you personally, Mark, need to spend more time with me. You've got all of this focused time of ministry and leading and all of this stuff. I just want you. I don't want Pastor Mark. I just want Mark. And the thing that I could do was set my alarm for earlier. Take that time. Set my alarm. Maybe that's all that it takes for you to do what you can do. And the second thing is this. Trust God to do what you cannot do. Trust Him to do what you cannot do. And what does He say? I will help you speak and teach you what to say. God will help you. God will help you. But listen to this. Do you think God was going to help Moses while he stayed in the desert? If Moses were to just go, you know what, God, I think I'm just going to be a sheep herder. I'm just going to stay out here. You do what you need to do. No. Moses had to go back to Egypt. And when he went back to Egypt, God granted him audience with Pharaoh, the most powerful man of the day. God granted him audience. God performed the miracles. As Moses lifted his staff, things happened. God did the miracles. God parted the Red Sea. Trust God to do what you cannot do. In 2 Corinthians, it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong, Paul said. Why did he say this? Because he recognized he did what he could do, and he left the rest to God. And as he left the rest to God, God showed up and did the miraculous in Paul's life. Now, when God shows up and does the miraculous in our lives, we then can see that the calling, the things of being different, all of this stuff leading up to this and making that choice to do it, when we know that when God is calling us to do something, he never calls us to do something easy. Why is that? So that when we trust in him and he is allowed to do what he can only do, then we see God's power work through us and in our lives, and then we can acknowledge that God is real. God is up to something awesome. And we then can know that when he says to do something else, we can trust him to a greater degree. God is continually moving. God is calling us to be different. God is saying, you do what you can do, and you let me do what you cannot do. I want to invite the worship team back up here today as we finish. Why is this such a big deal? So we can see, trust, and know that God is with us in our callings. I want you to remember this little thing as we bring the excuses, as Moses brought the excuse, as he's sharing this stuff. You know what? God refuses our excuses. It's a simple little rhymy phrase that we can remember. God refuses our excuses. And he does this because he has such a great calling in your life. A full life, an amazing life. So much to accomplish, so many things to do. And it might be just in your mind, or as I say this, it could sound so simple, and yet because he is calling it in you and you are going, this is impossible, God. Understand, you do what you can do and you let God do what you cannot do. It could be to reestablish relationship with a spouse. It could be to apply for a new job. Like I said before, it could be to just read the Bible for a year, to finish, read the whole thing in a year. Whatever those things are that the Lord is placing on your heart, Won't you submit to him? I love that at the end of the story in Exodus, yeah, Moses, because of some disobedience to the Lord, he did not get to go into the promised land. And yet, he was considered the friend of God. As you read in the Old Testament, there's not many guys that were considered to be the friends of God. Now, when Jesus came on the scene, things kind of changed a little bit. He set the captives free. When he went to the cross, man, everybody's life was different. But in the Old Testament, when we read about Moses' life, Moses was considered a friend of God. He answered the call. He did what he could do. And he let God do what he knew Moses couldn't do. This morning, won't you do the same? Those things that you wrote down, what is it? What am I supposed to do that's different? And why am I supposed to do it? Write those down. Begin to take action on those things. And watch and see how God transforms your life and the lives of the others around you. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Lord, you are so good. And I am grateful for all that you continue to do in all of our lives. You show us through Moses that man, he's so human. And even in his responses, there is, we would say the same thing, I would imagine, in the position that if you were to call us to do that. And we probably have. God is just too big. I'm not your guy. I'm not your girl. I don't have what it takes. But Lord, you see something different. Thank you. You saw something different in a fisherman. And you said, I will make you fishers of men. You called him Peter, for you would build your church. You see something different in us. Forgive us for forgetting that. Forgive us for not seeing you as almighty. Forgive us for not acknowledging that you, as the creator of all things, what you say should be enough. What you have promised should be enough. Lord, may we begin to move forward and to take action and do what we can do. And may we trust you to do what we cannot do. We love you, Lord, and submit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.